Are you perhaps a little nervous? No? Maybe some people here might be a little fearful. You know, I can assure you of one thing without any shadow of a doubt this year, that in the next year, in the next 365 days, in the next 8,760 hours, in the next 525,600 minutes, guess what? Everything's going to change. Everything is going to change. The world around you will change. The things that today our scientists and our doctors, they just know to be true in 1 year, guess what? They won't be true anymore. You know, the nations that today are enjoying peace and prosperity, in 1 year, those same nations may well be in the midst of conflict and struggle. Even in our own small piece of this great big picture, I can assure you that your life is going to change a great deal. You know, when I think about the fact that not too long ago, it's hard for me to even imagine that my daughter Emily was as small as my daughter Evelyn is today. It's hard to even believe that. And I still fail to believe that Evelyn will ever be a big girl wanting to play on the computer and go to the movies with her friends. You know, that just doesn't register yet. But it will happen. It will change. You know, why? Why does it happen? Well, guess what? Time. Time happens. The seconds, they pass by and they become the minutes. And the minutes become the hours. And the hours become days and weeks and months and years. So this morning, you have 364 days left now in 2011. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the time that you have left in 2011? Will you spend it this year being just as busy as you were in 2010? Will you spend it making any better use of your time than you did in 2010? You know, at the end of this year, you will do one of two things. You will either look back with joy, or you will look back with regret. At the end of this year, you will either face the future with anticipation and excitement, or you will consider it with anxiety and with worry. I know some people today are, every once in a while I can kind of pick up on what you're thinking. And from some of the looks I'm getting, I know that you're thinking, wow, thanks for ruining my new year. You know, I was enjoying it up till this point, but now you got me thinking about tomorrow and you got me thinking about next week. Well, let me stop you, because that's not my point here. I want to stop and refocus and try to re-clarify what my point is. I don't want you thinking about tomorrow. I want you thinking about today. I want you thinking about right now. I want you to consider, okay, the moments that we have right now. Paul, speaking to the church in Ephesus, he had some advice about how to live right now. He said in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, verses 15 through 17, he said this. Please follow along in your Bibles. I'll give you a moment to find it, I guess, here. I don't know for sure if I have it on the screen. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. That'll be our primary scripture for this morning, so it's important that you get there. Excuse me. Paul said this. Paul said, "Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." That's Paul's advice to the church at Ephesus about how to be wise in handling the here and the now. How to utilize and take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you today. You know, on Thursday, this last week, here at the church, we celebrated the life of Esther Thompson. Some of you may remember Esther, some of you probably don't. A lot of new faces. It's okay if you don't, okay? But we remembered 98 years of life. That's amazing. And for some of the folks sitting here today, you're probably thinking, 98 years? Tim, I got all kind of time. I'm not going to worry about it, okay? But here's the thing. Those 98 years... Here's the thing.
That's so frustrating.
Those 98 years, okay? You know what they were composed of? It's not like just one big lump sum. Those 98 years are composed entirely of small individual moments. Just itty bitty little moments. And those moments, not 98 years, those little moments are all that you have. You know, if you recall, as I've said before, you're not guaranteed days. You're not guaranteed weeks and months and years. The only thing that you have is this moment. God has blessed you at this moment today, right now. So let me go back to my first question. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do to take advantage of the moment that you have? Recall in the scripture, it says again, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. How do you live in wisdom? How do you practice wisdom with these moments that God has given you? Well, the first is you need to recognize something very important. And that's this, that your time, your moments on this earth, guess what? They're limited. They're not infinite. You only get so many. In fact, Psalm 39:4, the psalmist says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting it is. Guys, you've only got so many. That's it. They're a certain number, and when they're up, they're up. Okay? Your time here is temporary. It's limited. But let me ask you something. If you knew, as the psalmist requested, if you knew exactly how many you had, what would you do with them? You would take advantage of them, wouldn't you? You would make each and every one count. You would carefully and deliberately use each of them to the very fullest. Absolutely. That is the kind of wisdom that Paul is speaking about in that letter to the Ephesians. And because we are not guaranteed tomorrow, you're not even guaranteed this afternoon. Okay, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow, those moments that we have left, the wisdom, the wise thing to do would be that beginning right now, with the ones that you have right now, that you make the most of them, that you utilize them to the fullest. I mean, we all agreed that we would do it if we knew how many you have, right? Well, guess what? You got one right now. You got one right now. Use it to the fullest. Paul expressed that idea along with the warning in verse 16 when he said, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, we have to kind of slow down here for just a moment. We have to slow down here and we have to stop and make a decision. Because for us to proceed any further in 2011, for us to realize how to make the most of every opportunity, okay, to make the most of every moment, we have to establish in our own selves what is really important. You have to know that. If you don't have any idea of what's important, you're not going to fully... you're not going to be able to use those moments that God has given you fully. Okay, you need to know what's really most and more important. How do you really make them count? What is it that you're going to do that's going to give real value to those moments? Okay, what decisions are you going to make that are going to have lasting worth? That's going to realize the full potential? You have to realize what's important. What's most important? And as you ask yourself that question, there are usually two problems that we all face. Okay, the first one involves Paul's warning when he says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Who here knows that the days are evil today? You don't have to look very far, do you? The days that we are in are evil times. In the Word of God, Jesus Christ describes our enemy. He describes our adversary. He describes Satan himself as a liar and as a thief. And what does Satan do? Well, he sells you on a lie about sin to begin with. Okay? But then he goes a step further and he robs you of your time. And let me tell you how. Consider how much time, how many of these precious moments you waste sinning. I mean, because it really is a waste. How many moments do we waste in the bar? How many moments do we waste down at the casino? or involved in some kind of shallow affair. Moments wasted. But it doesn't even stop there. It's worse than that. Because then he steals your time as you spend those precious moments worrying about the consequences of your sin. And we all do that too, don't we? Guys, he is a thief. He is stealing your time. Sorry, I'm going to get this worked out here pretty quick. Satan is a thief. He's a thief and a liar. And that's Paul is expressly stating that to us when he says, you know, remember that the days are evil. All right, the days are evil. But the second problem we face is, I think, at times even more troublesome. Because probably you're a lot like me. Okay, probably as you consider what is going to have real value, what's going to have real worth, guess where we get focused at? We're completely focused on right here and right now and nothing else. You know, as I start to make decisions about how I'm going to pay bills, guess what I figure out? I got to work some more. You know, I got to get my butt back to work because I got to pay bills. You know, I got people in here probably, if you want to pass a test, guess what? You got to study more. All right? I mean, if you want to have dinner tonight, you know where you need to go? You got to go to the grocery store. You know, we make decisions based upon the here and now. And those things have value. Okay? I mean, it's important, especially the whole dinner thing. All right? But they have value. But too often we stop there. We stop short. And in the process, we sell ourselves and we sell those moments short of what they're really worth. Because those moments are so much more valuable than just the here and now. Those same moments have eternal value. They have infinite worth in eternity. Now, let me ask you this. What is the value of the moments and the time that you spend in prayer? What does that do for you? What is the net worth of it? Not a whole lot maybe in the now, but eternal. How valuable is that? You know, what is the value of the time that we spend praising and worshiping our God? What is the value of that? It's eternal. It's unbelievable. What's the value of the time that you spend studying the Word of God? What is the value of the moment that you spent sharing your faith with someone? Well, let me ask you this. What's the value of the moment that they spent sharing their faith with you? Pretty important, wasn't it? It was a big deal, wasn't it? I wonder this morning if you remember the story of Jesus when he went to visit Mary and Martha. Okay, it's in Luke chapter 10, and I won't make you go there this morning, but let me just give you kind of the quick cliff notes to this. Okay, Jesus showed up. He had his disciples with him. He shows up at Mary and Martha's house. Okay, and Martha did exactly what most of the ladies in here would do. All right, she jumps in the kitchen. She jumps in the kitchen and just starts cooking up a storm, you know. But her sister Mary, where's she at? She's out in the living room. She's sitting down at Jesus' feet listening to what he has to say. Now, I'm sure Martha kept her cool for a little while, okay? But eventually it got too much for her, you know? And eventually she said, you know, why isn't she helping me? She's lazy. Get her in the kitchen. Come on, Lord, help me out. You know, now, let me ask you this. Was it a sin for Martha to be in the kitchen taking care and preparing a meal? Was that a sin? No. There was nothing wrong with that, okay? Believe me, there's nothing wrong with that at all, okay? But her mistake was that she was so focused on the here and now. She was so focused on what was right in front of her in the kitchen that she missed out completely on what God was doing in the living room. She missed it completely. She had no idea. I know I got some guys in here getting kind of nervous right now, you know, because the ladies are all going, Pastor said I don't have to cook, you know. But I'm not saying that, all right? I mean, guys, it would be nice if you took him out occasionally, all right? But I'm not telling you that. What I am telling you is exactly what Paul said in verse 17, okay? He said, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, okay? Don't be foolish. Understand instead what the Lord's will is. You know, it's okay that you got things to do in the kitchen. We all do. All right, a lot of life happens in the kitchen. You got things in the here and now. But don't get so tied up in that you lose sight of what he's doing in your living room. All right, because he's doing some great things. Okay, and unfortunately, you only got one moment. You only got one moment. You got to choose what's most important. All right? Excuse me. So here's the obvious question then. Okay, Paul said again, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is in your life. Okay, so what's the obvious question? What's the Lord's will? You know, what's the Lord's will in my life in 2011? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think his will is for your mind to be so filled with worries and anxieties that you don't even have the possibility of thinking about who he is? Do you think that's his will? Okay, we can toss that one out, right? Do you think his will is for your calendar to be so filled up with everything else that you can't focus on anything important? No, let's toss that one out too. All right? Do you think this morning, all right, do you think this morning that his will for you is to be so stressed out about all the things involving your work and involving, you know, all the finances of this incredibly difficult economy right now, okay, that you miss what God is doing in your own home? No, he wants you to be there. He wants you to be involved with it. All right. So what is God's will then for you this year? What is it? Do you know? Does anybody know? Does anybody have the magic answer? Let me help you out here, okay? Let me help you out with a process. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you a process, okay? To find out God's will in your life, first thing you need to do is you need to prayerfully establish priorities, okay? You need to find out what's most important, all right? You need to find out what's at the top of the list and what's at the bottom of the list, all right? Now, probably, if you're a lot like me, okay, those priorities change all the time, all right? Unfortunately, let's just be honest, you know, you wake up and whatever happens, that's what your priority is right now. That's the biggest thing in the world right now, okay? But I can tell you that in the eternal picture, in the big picture, okay, when you would really sit down and be quiet, let God speak into your heart those things that are most important, all right, your list will probably be kind of like mine. I'd like to share it with you. First priority in my life, I hope first priority in your life, is God. It's God. It's a passionate and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's got to be number one above anything else that's going on. No matter what kind of situation I woke up in, my goal in 2011 is to make that my number one priority. That's it. Number two for me, and it's different for you guys, is my wife. In 2011, I want to experience and enjoy life with Tina like I have never known before. Never before. Your priority, I hope, is the same. Not with my wife, okay? but similar, okay? Priority number three for me is family. It's Emily. It's Sarah. It's Evelyn. But guess what? It's Lloyd. It's Betty. It's Greg. It's Vicky. It's Alta. You know, it's Nancy, it's Dorothy, it's Joe. Guys, I've got a big family. I've got a really big family. And in 2011, I want to grow in a church family that is all about serving and loving each other and this community around me. Those are my priorities. That's what I want to be important in my life in 2011. And because we are led by the same Holy Spirit, and because the truth of God doesn't change, guess what? Your priorities should be pretty close to mine. They're pretty close to mine. Okay? But it's one thing to set priorities. It's another thing to actually execute them. To actually apply them to your life. And to do that, that means that you need to make decisions in your life that make those priorities the most important thing. Okay? Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. All right? So we need to make decisions, okay, that line up with our priorities. So our first priority is what? It's God. Okay, priority number one is God. To know him, to trust him, to share him. Okay, our first priority in 2011 is God. Well, what kind of decisions are we going to make, though, in order to know who he is? Well, you got to choose to pray. You got to choose to get down on your knees and to pray and to share with God everything you got inside here. All these questions and concerns and maybe doubts and, you know, all that stuff. Lay it right at his feet. Lord, this is who I am. Prayerfully talk to your Father. Just talk. Okay? There's no right and wrong words. Just talk to him. Okay? And then You need to make time. You need to choose to spend time in His Word. Because in His Word, guess what? You shared your heart with Him in prayer. He's going to share His heart with you in the Word of God. He's going to answer those questions. He's going to give you direction. He's going to bring you peace and joy. But you're going to find it in the Word of God. You need to spend time in it. How do we choose to trust Him? How do we trust God? Well, let me tell you something. The first thing is, you need to figure out that you need to rely upon Him and not upon you. Rely upon His provisions and not yours. That means that, Tim, guess what? I need to remain generous. Even when my wallet says no, I need to keep a generous heart. I need to be willing to give, even when I don't think I need to, or even when I feel like I should hold back. I have to choose faith to trust Him. I have to choose faith over fear. I have to choose that when my comforts are replaced by challenges. Even then, I have to choose faith instead of fear. To know Him, to trust Him. I don't know what I said wrong. But, and to share Him. To share Him. How do we share God? Let me tell you something, guys. You need to be willing to speak His name into those dark places in this world. You need to be willing to convey to the people around you your story about how God changed you. How He made a new creation in you. And guess what? He can do the same thing for anyone who will call upon His name. You need to share that truth with people. You need the world to sit back and take note of your life and ask why and ask how. And your response needs to be by the grace of God alone. By the grace of God alone, He has done this. You know, that is how we share Him. So, first priority, God. Knowing Him, trusting Him, sharing Him. And having established that priority, okay, now we can make decisions in 2011 where we're able to wisely seize these opportunities. Okay? If that is our priority, and that's what focuses our attention or what draws our attention and focuses our decision making, then as we come into these moments and as we're given these opportunities, okay, now we can wisely seize them in the light of our priorities. We can wisely seize them with the assurance that even though these days are evil, that because you're a child of God, that no weapon and no scheme of the enemy will prosper against you. You can go through 2011, all these precious moments that we have, being assured of that truth. You can go through 2011 with the confidence that you are walking in the will of God. I mean, that's a great place to be. That's an awesome place to be. I pray this morning that you make those kind of decisions. It's one thing to sit in a church and to say, hey, God is most important. Okay, I'll buy that. But show me. Show me on Monday. Show me in your decisions at the workplace. Show me in your conversations at the country club or at the, you know, at the pool or wherever. Show me that God is most important. You know, guys, that's what the world wants to see. The world wants to see that you're a lot more than just talk. Okay? Because they have the same questions you do. And they're having the same problems we are, getting priorities and making decisions and seizing the moment. And they want to see that in your life, the things that you're saying on Sunday morning is what you're doing the rest of the week. They want that assurance and that confidence. You know, this year, 2011, I was joking with somebody that 2010, I didn't even get used to writing it on the paper yet. Okay, and it's already gone. You know, 2011, and I'm not like one of these doomsday prophets. That's not me. But you know what? I've studied the Word of God to tell you this. This could be the very last year we ever have. I mean, this could be the last New Year's we ever have. In the prophetic calendar, guess what's next? We're not waiting for nothing. All that's next is the return of Jesus Christ. That's it. In the blink of an eye, He can come back at any moment. All right? 2011 could well mark that day. I mean, this could be that year. That all of our hopes have been wrapped up for so long, and all the saints of the past, and it could all come together this year, right now. Even if that doesn't happen, though, even if 2012 comes, guess what? I know that God has those same great plans for you. Okay? You may have another year. You may have another 2 or 3 years. We may see many, many more new years. But God's plans for you are to see you prosper. Okay? They are to see you grow in your relationship with Him. And I don't mean prosper financially. I mean, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Okay? I mean prosper where it counts. Okay? I mean God wants to bless you with wealth that really counts. Okay? With eternal value, with eternal worth. But the question that you're going to have to answer in 2011 is the same one you answered last year. What will you do? What decisions will you make? What are your priorities going to be in 2011? You have to decide for yourself. I can't make you decide, okay? But I got to tell you something, all right? Don't just speak it, all right? Live it. Walk out of these doors and live that priority. Let this doubting and unbelieving world know what's most important to you, all right, in 2011 and beyond. What choices will you make? What will you do? I don't know. I know what I will choose, all right? As Joshua said, as for me and my house, I'll choose to serve the Lord, all right? I'd encourage you to make the same choice this morning. Will you stand with me? You know, some of you in life in 2010, you chose everything else. Hey, you know, I chose a lot of it too. All right. Some of us have chosen everything else available. So let me challenge you with this. How about in 2011, you choose what the Word of God says? You know, how about in 2011, you do just as Paul said, and you be very careful in how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise. In 2011, why don't you make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And do not be foolish, but in 2011, understand what the Lord's will is for your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus some thousands of years ago. But Lord, as we stand on the precipice of this new year, Lord, I thank you that it is just as true and rings just as powerful today as it did then. Lord, I ask that now, at this time, that you will challenge the hearts in this room. God, that we will be much more than people who speak the word, but that we will be people who live it. God, I pray that our priorities line up with yours, that you are first on every list and every heart in this room. Lord, that we choose to trust you, that we choose to share you, Lord, that we choose to rely upon you and to know you. God, I know there are hearts this morning in this room even that have been longing for something more this entire year. 2010, they've longed all the year, Lord, for something more. Lord, I know there are hearts this morning who feel so stale and uneventful and unused. God, refresh us. Restore us. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will show us the decisions that we need to make in 2011, that we can seize the opportunities that you've placed before us, that we can be wise in our decisions, wise at these precious moments that you've given us. Lord, I also pray this morning as we stand again in the second day of this new year. Father, if there is even one soul this morning that has not seized that most precious opportunity, that has not made that most important decision, Father, help that person this morning. Father, I pray for that man or that woman or that young man or that young woman. Lord, that you will let them know that it is a scary, scary place, that these days are evil, and that this world is no place to be alone. But Father, that you are here. that you will receive them and that you will create in them a new creation. Father, for any heart this morning that does not know you, I offer that prayer. Lord, for this church, as we go forth from here, Lord, let us be a church that not only believes, but Lord, a church that makes decisions to show what we believe. Lord, that we can put our words into action. That we can be that light, Lord, that you've called us to be in this community, in this city, Lord, in this state, in this world. I pray that you will challenge us to much greater things than we believe possible today. And Lord, in that process, force us to lean upon your strength. As every head remains bowed and every eye still closed, I know that we've already prayed specifically for two of our sisters this morning. But this morning, I got to tell you, I know there are people who you're already unsure about what lies ahead. You can be sure today. You can know today and go in confidence from this place today. I'd ask if that's you this morning, let a sister, let a brother know. Let us pray for you. Let us stand with you in that gap. Let us lift you up. Our God is willing. He is faithful. And he is very, very able. So we'll take a few moments today.